Good morning, everyone. We are so happy to have you all here. Welcome to BKX 2023. Awesome. My name is Yelitza Mora, and I will be your host throughout this fantastic journey together. So I wanted to start this by asking you to please give yourself a big round of applause because you showed up here today. So let's go. Awesome. And many of you have traveled so far to be here that tells me that you guys are just not dreamers, but actually doers who are willing to take whatever step there is to take your life and your businesses to the next level. So in the room, we have a lot of people that we want to thank, especially because you guys are the lifeblood of this event. First, I was told to get started with the newbies. Those business owners that have been doing this for the past 18 months, I want you to give yourself a pat on the back because you took the first step. That step that was like, hey, I have a dream and I want to go after it. So congratulations to you. Second, we have the established businesses, those who have been paving the ways for the past 2 to 3 years, going for your dreams no matter what. Guys, it's difficult. I'm a business owner. I understand how hard it is, and I understand that sometimes when it's really hard, you're like, I don't want to keep going. But you do. You're here. You're showing up. You want to learn, so congratulations to you. And third, we have the empire builders, the guys that are the legends that are walking among you, the ones that are telling you, hey, guys, success is possible. We are here. We have done it. And we are here for you. So the newbies, the established businesses can have something to look forward to. Congratulations to you, too. I am super extremely excited to have you guys here, and the whole event is super excited to have you guys here because, just so you know, you represent and you serve over 9,000 businesses across the U.S., and that is extremely impressive. We are super excited to be sharing with you and connecting with you for the next 3 days, and we cannot wait to get this party started. So if some of you are thinking about, hey, what is the best way for me to optimize my experience and my time and the things that we're going to learn through the BKS experience? It's like honestly drinking from a fire hose. You're going to get so much info, ideas, connections, and stuff that you're going to want to do that at times it might feel overwhelming. Trust me, I've been there. But I want you to worry not, because we have your back. The entire team, us, we're going to be here for you, because what we want to do is we want to make sure that you get the best experience possible and that you go back home with all the goodies and all the information that you need to grow your businesses, okay? So what a lot of people, for the new ones that are here that haven't been here before, might be wondering, what is BKX about, right? Like, what is this event about? What are we going to learn? What are we going to get out of here? So what you're going to learn, BKX is about three major or core experiences. Number one is connections. Number two is collaboration. And number three is clarity. For the first one is connection, right? So we don't want you to only be like, hey, here's my business card. My name is Yelitza Mora. No. We want you to build relationships. We want you to go and meet people. We want you to connect with, imagine connecting with the people that have done what you want to do, right? Like the empire builders, people that are following your footsteps, the ones that are starting, the ones that don't even have a business and they want to be here because they want to start how to do it, and the ones that are actually doing what you're doing today, the ones that are like walking beside you and the ones that are feeling your pain. So guys, you need to be connecting, because once you start meeting the right people, that's when your life and your businesses are going to change, okay? Then second, we have collaboration, where the magic happens. I love collaborating with people because that's when you're brainstorming ideas. That's where you're like, oh my God, I've never heard that before. That's when you're going to get some aha moments for your business. And that's where, honestly, the magic happens. So start collaborating with the people that you're going to meet. And third, clarity. A lot of us have the shiny object syndrome, right? Like, we want to do it all. I'm a business owner. I understand. I've been on your shoes. So we want to do it all. And this event is all about giving you the clarity as a business owner for you to go back home and say, hey, this thing that I learned at the event, this thing that I was able to get out of the people that I met at the event is what I really need to be doing for my business, because this is what's going to push my business forward. And maybe this I'm going to leave aside because it's just a distraction. So at the end, when you walk out of here in 3 days, you're going to feel a collision of experiences and ideas and opportunities that you're going to experience. You're going to feel 100% recharge, because you're going to be like, I'm going to do this. And you're going to be so confident that you know what the next step is going to be for your business to grow. So who is ready to get this party started? Awesome. Me too. I'm super ready. So for us to get the ball rolling, we have prepared an amazing video. And this video, what it's going to do, is going to introduce the next speaker that we have. So please roll it on.
Who can control the high-flying skies, crunch numbers with ease, and help thousands unlock the power of a successful bookkeeping business? A superhero? Nope. It's just our main man, Ben. Ben's no ordinary CPA. This guy's got stories that can make the most complicated spreadsheets look like doodles. Starting off in the Air Force as an air traffic controller, Ben mastered the art of managing chaos in the sky. It's a lesser known fact that if you can handle F-16s at rush hour, busy season is a cakewalk. Ben also packs a punch with his entrepreneurial skills. He's not just a business owner, he's a business grower, a pathfinder, a mentor. Ben is co-founder of Bookkeepers.com, where he's helped transform more than 16,000 people across 23 countries into serious business owners. And now, he's here at BKX 2023, ready to drop some wisdom. Be prepared for critical insights and maybe, just maybe, a couple of his silly dad jokes. So ladies and gentlemen, buckle up and please join me in welcoming to the stage, Ben Robinson.
Thank you, Jaleesa. Thank you. Woo! Thank you. Wow, this is a big-ass room. 600 people, double what we had last year and triple what we had in 2021. So let me just reiterate and say how grateful I am to have Jaleesa taking a huge load off of my shoulders. So she is going to do an awesome job. Fellow entrepreneur, by the way. So it's great to see all of you. I know that this is a very wide room, and I know that there's a lot that's going to be going on, and I'm ready to optimize your experience right here. So I want to give you a couple of stats first, because we all like stats, right? We're bookkeeping professionals, right? So we like numbers. Okay, awesome. So which state do you think has the most people represented here at BKX 2023? Texas with 71, and the person who gets to the second place, I'm going to buy their lunch today, so look at there, who's second? California, yes, with 43, and then we have Florida, okay, with 40. 71, 43, and 40. So not a bad representation. I did not go to the rest of them. There will not be a full dialogue of all of that, but thank you all for making the effort. I know that it's been a painful last couple of days with travel, right? For me and for you, if you didn't notice, and Saturday was kind of hell day for me. But we did make it here and did make it in one piece, although you couldn't fit a piece of paper into my truck because I had everything full, because everything just went downhill. I'll tell you that story if you meet me for a drink or something like that later. But I'm very thankful that you're here and you made the effort. Okay, this is the cream of the crop. And you, if you're here watching us online, I need you to be here, because this is where the magic is, You know, Jalitza said it's about connections, and that's exactly what it is. Okay, what you'll hear from stage is really, really good. I mean, I pray and I hope that it's really, really good, because we want to deliver on that. But really, the connections that you make here are the most important things. When I see connections that people made in 2021, heck, when I see connections that people made at Bookkeeper, what we call Bookkeeper Boost in 2017? Who was here at Bookkeeper Boost 2017? Let me hear a hoo-hoo. All right, so we did this in 2017. We had no idea what in the hell we were doing. We had it at the Sonesta in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We had like 125 people there. We'd been in business about 2 years. And we put this on. But some of the connections that people made, that's the very first time that I met Justin Boynton. The very first time, where is he? There he is. Very first time that I met Brandy Derrick. Where's Brandy? Oh, Brandy's not going to be here till tomorrow. Very first time that I met several of you. And to see your relationships thriving and to see your businesses thriving, I don't think that that's a coincidence. I don't believe that the connections that you made there and the connections that you make here are independent of each other. I think that your success is directly related to those connections that you make. So while this is great and it's good to be on stage and it's good for you to hear the information, please, I know that we're all introverts. I think the number one word that I heard inside the Facebook, if we did a word cloud, it would be the word introvert. I wanted to create a bot that said, if you see the word introvert in a post, delete it. Look, 90% of us are introverts, and that's totally fine. But I need you to come out of your shell a little bit here, okay? How many of you, you know, you're going to have sore feet, by the way, because we sit on our butts most of the day. And so my feet yesterday felt like they had two heartthrobs in them independently, just in the boom, 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 like that. And so you're going to be put outside of your comfort zone, but that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Some of you probably have already had good ideas about your business just when you got on the airplane or got inside your car or got to your hotel room. Has anybody experienced that yet coming here? Okay. See, there's the introverts. They raise their hand like this. And the reason that that happens is because you're in a different context. When you sit in the same seat every single day, you look at the same computer, you work on the same stuff, your body gets into this mode where it's not creative, it's just doing. It's just doing. So when you come to a place like this, you ever had it when you're on vacation? You've seen these ideas about your business just come out of nowhere. You're sitting on the beach or you're, you know, in the casino or wherever you go on vacation. And all of a sudden these ideas start coming to you. Well, that's the reason. And so that's the beauty of being here at BKX. So I really want you to leverage that time. And I want you to have two relationships that you focus on. Number one, somebody that's ahead of you. Actually, three relationships. Someone that's ahead of you. Okay? I love what I'm seeing inside of the group with people saying, hey, can we meet up? I'm in this industry, I'm in this niche, I'm in this situation, can we meet up? But finding somebody that's a little bit ahead of you is a really good thing to do. Finding somebody that's behind you, that you can help them, is an important thing to do, because there's nothing like being a teacher to solidify your learning and to help others, because we're all in this together. I truly believe that. I believe that this is a collaboration. I believe that we do have some competition, and that's a good thing. Competition is a good thing, and I see it as such. But what I want to do here today is I want to kind of set the stage for where I think things are going. And the title of my chat here is Navigating the Future with Competence. Because there's a lot of uncertainty out there right now. Does anybody agree with me there? Who thinks that there's a little bit of uncertainty in our industry and all industries right now? If you're not raising your hand, you have been under a rock for the last year, 5 years, whatever the case may be. Now, change is nothing new. What's the old saying, the old adage? The only thing constant is change. Wow, we're going to get some more caffeine. Do we have enough coffee out there for you guys? Only thing constant is change. But what we're seeing right now, and I'm going to chat with you about right now, is the speed of change. We've never seen this rate of change, at least in our lifetimes. And I don't know if another time in the history of humankind has ever seen that before. We may be wrong, we may be right. But I just want to help you to think about, and this set the stage for everything that you're going to be learning and the relationships that you're going to be harvesting here. Does that sound good? All right. Awesome. So let's go back to 1983 talking about the future. How many of you were not even born in 1983? I've got boxer shorts that I bought in 1983. So I'm going to embarrass some family members because like my whole family is here, sitting right here in the middle. They may not claim me. I don't blame them. But picture back to 1983. That's 40 years ago, right? 40 years ago, I was 12 years old, and I looked something like this, and there's my mom. Look at that hairdo. Wow. I'm not talking about mine. I'm talking about hers. What are you wearing, like a muumuu? I don't know what that is. Look at me. I'm suave. I think I'm about 12 right there. I tried to find a picture that represented 1983. Oh, man, to go back. So it's 1983, and I'm living with my dad, and we live right here. Dad sent me this picture. This was Conway, Arkansas, Route 3, Box 670, Conway, Arkansas, 72032. There's a barn back there. There's a log house right there. And right here in the background, you can see a truck. You see that truck? All right. So here's what happens. I'm at home one day. Dad, you'll remember this story. I didn't tell my dad that I was going to tell this story, or my mom that I was going to show this picture right here of her in a muumuu. However, sitting at home, and all of a sudden my dad drives up, and he's got a brand new truck, which is kind of odd. I've never seen my dad in a brand new truck. So he comes up, and it's a Chevrolet K10 that he bought from Building Chevrolet in Conway, Arkansas. Anybody ever know that? Okay, just kidding. Me and dad, and maybe that table right there. So it's a 1983 Chevrolet K10 truck. And I'm like, wow. I've opened the door, and that new car smell comes at you. Is there anything better than that? It probably causes all kinds of health problems, but man, it smells good, right? And by the way, if you ever go to car wash and get the new car spray, it does not smell like new car spray. It smells like new car spray vomited on itself. But this K10, so he comes and he's driving up. We get in there, and I get in the truck, and I'm looking, and I slide over. And about that time, it's bench seats, right? There's no extra cabs, no bucket seats. You just slide across. And there's a lap. I think maybe they had the straps by then, but there's a lap belt and everything. And I get in, and I'm looking around, and I say, Dad, do these windows not roll down? He goes, no, son. These windows are power windows. What? Are you George Jetson and we're from the future? Did you just say power windows? What is that? Well, power windows at one point were a luxury and they were high tech. Who in here remembers when power windows, power steering was a luxury, right? Who remembers cranking the car? No, there's nobody hopefully that old. All right, we don't have anybody that old in here, I don't think. But this was high tech, and I don't say this just to tell you this nice anecdote. I tell you because there's a direct relation to that technology and what we're facing today. And I'll finish the rest of that story here in a minute because I want to leave you on a cliffhanger. Curiosity, I read it on the Googles. That's a really good thing to add into a speech, so I did it right here. But there's something about that. But here's the outcomes that I want to give you from this chat that we're having here. And by the way, I don't call it a talk, I don't call it a speech, I call it a chat. Because when you talk to somebody, I don't want to talk to you, I want to talk with you. And I know that it's hard when there's 600 of you and one of me standing up on stage, but I'm going to do my best to work with you here because that's what we are. We are a collaboration, which is the word that Jalitza used earlier. But here are the outcomes that I have for you, okay? First outcome that I have is how to stay relevant. There's a lot of change coming on out there. We've got artificial intelligence, we've got robotic process automation, we've got simple automation. Heck, we got Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg gonna get in a cage fight together. What the hell happened? Imagine putting yourself in a time machine and coming back and going, what just happened right there? But we're gonna talk about how to stay relevant. Now, relevant is one thing, but really what I want to do is to teach you how to thrive. And the only way in which you can thrive is if you help others to thrive. So my job is to help you to thrive. Your job is to help your clients thrive. I didn't hear a bunch of hooting and hollering when we said, they're not, well, hold up. That was good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks, Mom. Is that you? Okay. I paid her to do that. 9,000 businesses are represented here. How did I get that? Your surveys. Did a little stats on there, about 9,000 businesses, and that was being pretty conservative. That's a lot of businesses, right? I mean, think about all the families that are involved, all the employees that are involved in that. You guys do, you have a huge role that you play in their businesses, right? You may not know it, you may not think it. They certainly don't tell you that all the time, if ever, but you do. You make a huge impact. Do you understand the impact that you make in businesses? I don't care if you're working with one client or 100 clients, you make a huge impact. You take a pain away from somebody, which is probably the best thing that you can do. So I want to teach you how to thrive, and in part, I want to teach you how to help your clients to thrive, okay? And finally, what I want to do is I want to give you some recommended action items. I don't want to just talk in an esoteric sense. I want you to have a clear understanding of things that you can be doing today while you're at BKX and things that you can be doing Friday after you leave BKX. We all there? So we want to stay relevant. Anybody want to be irrelevant? Mr. Irrelevant? Joel, you don't want to be irrelevant. You want to be relevant. Mr. Irrelevant, by the way, if you don't know, is the final person drafted in the NFL draft. Isn't that what they call that? I don't know, something back there? Okay, all right. So I also want to give you some recommended action items. All right, who here likes their T-shirt that they got yesterday or today? Those are pretty cool, right? I drew them myself. I printed, no, I didn't have anything to do with that other than the swiping the credit card. I thought that was really good. It's funny, as an aside, you know I have all kinds of asides. We had a contest that we did on 99 Designs. If you've not ever used 99 Designs for something like a logo or anything that has to do with graphics and such, it's an amazing thing. You have to know some tricks on that. Anyway, we got like, what happens is that there was a contest, right? And all these designers, they put out designs. And so I picked one. I was like, that's the design that I want right there. That one's cool. So I sent it to my team. And guess which one came in last place? My design. And so I picked that one right there that we have that's on your shirt right now. But the reason that I bring that up is because on the back of your T-shirt, there is a phrase, learn, adapt, perfect. Not perfect, but perfect as a verb. And so we're going to be using that as a theme this year. But it's not really just a theme this year and something cute and some tagline. It's something that we need to institute so that we stay relevant and we thrive. We have to be able to learn, adapt, and perfect our businesses. And I'm going to go into this in depth in a little bit. But I call this the 21st century bookkeeping professional's mantra. Now, I'm saying bookkeepers. I know that I love to say bookkeeping professional, but sometimes it's just too doggone much to type late at night when you're doing this. So let's talk about why this is important and why everything that you're doing right here is important. Because if we don't, there is the high chance that we could become irrelevant. What got us here won't get us there. We're in a definite time of drastic change. And you may see that as a liability, and I see it as an asset, if we can leverage that asset. Okay? So this is important. So don't think that this is filler time. Don't think that this is me up here just doing whatever I do. I don't even know what I do. But this is very important, and we all need to pay attention because the risks are too great if we don't. Does everybody agree with that? Does anybody dispute that? If you do, you probably should go. All right, but know this, in all of this, I've got your back. Bookkeepers.com, Digital Bookkeeper Association, we have your back, okay? We're all in this together. Isn't that a song or something like that? Didn't you used to have that on your playlist? We're all in this together. I'm sorry. So my daughter's had, anyway, I won't go there. All right, we're all in this together. However, okay, there's one problem. I'm walking this tightrope. When I was talking to the team about this chat and other chats, Heidi, where's Heidi? You in here, Heidi? Heidi's like, don't scare them. I'm like, I don't want to scare them, Heidi. I definitely don't want to do that. But I walk this tightrope between giving you some warnings and cautionary types of things and then also giving you hope. So I have to kind of work both sides of the aisle. I have to make sure that you're aware of what's coming down the pike, things that I see coming down the pike, because part of my responsibility is to prepare you for the future. It's my obligation. So just like a parent sometimes has to tell a kid, I mean, my parents never did, but I've heard that other kids had to be told that they were doing things wrong or that they need to do things a different way, and 90% of the time I didn't listen, but the 10% of the time I did, it worked out pretty well, right? What's the old bumper sticker that says, teenagers move out while you still know everything, right? We think we know everything, but I'm walking this tightrope. So if you hear doom and gloom, it's also going to be tempered with hope an opportunity. Okay? All good with that? But we're in this very tumultuous time. I'm here to prepare you. I am not here to scare you. Okay? I am not here to scare you. But we can't sit idly by and just expect things to be the same. Unfortunately, we can't. You have to keep an open mind. I have to keep an open mind about things that are coming down the road. This is one of the biggest things is that I think we have this preconceived notion that something will work or something won't work, and we don't even explore it. So we have to keep an open mind. And the old saying is, like a parachute, the mind works best when it's open. Okay? So with an open mind, what does that mean? That means that you see possibilities and not limitations. There's a lot of possibility out there. Let me tell you, every time that there's significant change, there's significant possibility. Okay? Not for most, only for some. But you see the possibilities and not limitations. You thrive, okay, where others become obsolete. And that's the word that we want to avoid at all costs, is obsolete. But I want you to hear me on something right here. Failure to learn, failure to adapt, and failure to perfect is flirting with disaster. Anybody remember that song? Anybody old enough remember Molly Hatchet? Yeah. All right. All right. We're the other people that are going to be eating aspic with me later on. Right? Okay. See, that's such an old joke. Nobody even gets that right there. But complacency is the antidote to progress. We can't be complacent in all of this. So what I want to do right now, I want to answer a question that's very important, is where are we now in our industry? If we want to know where we're going, we first have to start with the question, we have to know where we are now, okay? So let's talk about some of the things that we are, and then we're going to talk about where I think that we're going in the future. So first, we're seeing accelerating change. When I started this business in 2015, it was about 50% of people, I'm just using this as hyperbole, but 50% of business owners didn't care if you were remote, and 50% did. Now, nobody cares where you are. And if they do, they're probably not a good prospect in most cases, right? But we're seeing this accelerating change. I read the other day where the cost of reproducing a human genome has been cut by 10 million times. I mean, we're seeing things that, and this was in the course of like 5 years, right? We're seeing all of this change. I mean, every single year, a new iPhone comes out and it's crappier every single time. The battery goes down every single time, but that is change. It's negative change, but we're seeing that. And so sometimes, who here feels like some days you're like, good grief, could they just stop changing things one time? Could they just, the rest of you are liars. Like, just for one day, can I come in the same buttons in the same place and it's the same color? I hear some amens out there now, right? So all of these things we're seeing, this is just an accelerating time of change. And we have always had change, but we have not had it at this clip. We have not had it at this pace. Here's this one right here, artificial intelligence. And we're going to be talking a lot about that here. I don't want this to be just a total session about artificial intelligence, because honestly, ain't nobody knows really what it is yet. We're just at the cusp of it. So get this. Check this out. It took 110 years for 80% of the world to have a telephone. Okay? It took 28 years for the same percentage to have internet. And right now, with artificial intelligence, if you look at ChatGPT and Google Bard and Microsoft, can't remember theirs, but if you look at those three, about 1% of the world is using it. Everybody's like, well, it's too late. No, this is the edge. This is the bleeding edge, right? And so we're just at the beginning of this, and everybody who espouses to be an AI expert is a liar. I loved it in January when ChatGPT in its current form had been out for 2 months, and you have these people on YouTube that are all of a sudden experts on ChatGPT. Like, imagine that with surgery, right? Hey, I did an appendectomy the other day, and so now 2 months later, I'm an expert on that. That's not the case. Artificial intelligence, though, is going to radically change. Artificial intelligence is what's called generative. It creates. You create. Artificial can, with your help, create. And later, it will create without your help. So artificial intelligence, combined with constant change, combined with robotic process automation, which nobody is talking about. Guess who is the number one consumer of robotic process automation in the world? Does anybody have a guess who the company is? You probably know them. No, Ernst & Young. Ernst & Young is the number one, followed by Deloitte & Touche, okay? So they're leveraging RPA, and I bet that they're not leveraging it to the way in which they can. It's probably an experimental. But if you look at the number of bot requests that are sent, those are the two biggest ones that are out there. And this is the one that really people aren't talking about, and I'll talk more about that here today. This is one of those things that there is no intro to robotic process automation or AI. It's just diarrhea of the mouth and all the content that you know. I have lots of metaphors like that, by the way, if you've never been here. So it gets worse. Don't worry. Okay? Specialization. So who has been with me since 2015 when we started this journey? Where's Kirsten? Right? Yeah, there's Kirsten right there and a few of you. Okay. So at the very beginning, the first thing that I said in marketing is that you need to specialize. And I was like one of the only people saying that. And the only reason that I knew that is because that's what I did. At that point in 2015, just 8 years ago, heck, everybody worked with anybody. It doesn't matter. But now, if you go and look at archive.org, which is known as the Wayback Machine, and go and look at the Journal of the Accountancy, which, by the way, is a fun Friday night. If you don't have anything to do, go read the Journal of Accountancy. That's a hoot right there. But drink some wine first before you do it. I think that would be good. But specialization. So most of you in here have taken my lead and said, hey, I'm going to work with a specific industry. I'm going to work with a specific type of client. But specialization is where things are going. But the good news is that you're already headed in that direction, and other people are playing catch up, right? Go ahead and look at your emails about people that are talking about niching. It's all because of me. They're just following me, right? It's the only thing. I learned it from somebody else, so I cannot take credit for that. I can't take credit for most of the good ideas that I have. Elimination of hourly compensation. Now, this one isn't like riveting or something like this, but there's some huge implications on this, right? Because more and more people, just like in 2015, everybody was still doing in accounting firms and bookkeeping firms, they were still doing hourly compensation. How many of you read the study every year that Firm of the Future does? What? Okay, here's a writer downer. By the way, we have action sheets for you, don't we? Didn't we give them action sheets? Okay, good. I hope those made it. Inside of your what are the goodie bags, swag bags, there's a folder and there's an action sheet in there. One of the things that I recommend that you do is when you have ideas, put those down, and we'll talk about filtering those out on day three. Did Jaleesa say this? I didn't hear. I was in the back praying to myself and God, and please don't let me fall off stage or something like that. But as you have ideas, I suggest that you write them down on this sheet of paper or otherwise, whatever that you want to use. And then we're going to talk about triaging these. How do we put these into the right order? How do I know what to focus on? Because the last thing in the world I want you to do is to go home and next Tuesday is the status quo as today. Inertia will kill, okay? But elimination of the hourly compensation, that's a huge thing. So the writer downer, so who's going to help keep me on track when I say I get offside? So my wife will help me keep me on track. So Firm of the Future, they publish a study every single year about compensation, rates, industry type of stuff. And they always quote the hourly compensation on there. They're still quoting that. But what you're seeing, if you go back and look at the archives of that study from Firm of the Future, which is Intuit, it's their baby, you're seeing fewer and fewer firms doing that. So nothing riveting there, but we've talked about that for a long time. Higher client expectations. Who here has experienced their clients demanding more and more and more? Okay, here's how this works. When I ask for your hands, I'd love to see your hands. When I give you a binary choice of A or B and only half the room raises it, we got a problem. This is interactive, okay? So how many of you here have experienced more and more demands from your clients? All right, that's a little bit better right there. Okay. And there's a reason for this, and I'll talk about this in a later chat. I've got like four chats in front of here. Is that in this one or that one? But we've got higher client expectations, and don't think that that's going to be going down anytime soon. A lack of talent and work ethic. Nobody's experienced that, right? Everybody can find talent. Talent's aplenty. They're all good. They want to come to work. They have all kinds of ideas, right? Unfortunately, no. So we have a lack of talent. We have a lack of work ethic, even when we find that talent. Remote work. So, yeah, everybody pretty much is working remote right now. I don't think, maybe a few of you have physical offices, which is great, but remote work is a thing, and we're talking about things that are changing. Compliance officer versus agent of change. It's been for hundreds of years that the accountant and the bookkeeping professional and the tax pro were just checking boxes, whether that be for the Internal Revenue Service, the state revenue agency, a bank, or something that just needed to be done. What we're seeing is an evolution now from compliance officer to agent of change, and that is you, okay? You are the agent of change for your business, because guess what? Your business owners don't care diddly squat about bookkeeping. I know that that's riveting, and I know that that's exciting, but they don't. They didn't start their business to get into bookkeeping. You can be an agent of change, though. You can help them. Combined with their knowledge of their industry and your knowledge of bookkeeping numbers and all things nerdy, You can be that agent of change. Cybersecurity, wow. Cybersecurity, we got to take this serious. Jock Walls is outside, and he is one of our sponsors, and he does Arizona Emissions Insurance and cybersecurity insurance, and he and I were chatting via email, and just all of the things that are happening and all the scams, and I know that some people in here have been impacted by them, and I don't think that that's going to go down. I don't think that we're going to see a decrease in nefarious characters out there. Okay, I think that we're going to see these scams getting more and more. So cybersecurity is a real thing for us to keep a focus on. A multi-service firm, okay? A multi-service firm being that, hey, firms only did bookkeeping, firms only did tax, firms only did audit, and what we're seeing is a melding of that. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do all these things yet. What I'm suggesting is, or what I'm presenting, are things that are happening in the industry. So that's, bless you, that's kind of how I and where I see us now. Okay, but more important, where are we headed? Okay, and I'm going to approach this from two angles. One angle is what I think won't happen, and the other is what I think will happen. And this is me looking, and this is me being an old crusty guy with 25 years of experience in this industry and seeing a lot of stuff, but also on the other side of it, not seeing what we've seen right now. So a lot of this is supposition. A lot of this is my best guess, but let's go and let's talk about where we're headed. Okay, so first, what won't happen? Okay, I believe that those that learn, adapt, and perfect will not become obsolete. So I've got a phrase, what won't happen, they'll become like this. A little bit hard, you have to do the negative and the minus on this right here. But those of you that learn, adapt, and perfect and continue to do that day in and day out, week in and week out, you're not going to go out of business. You're not going to be obsolete, quite the contrary. Okay, sorry, I'm on the wrong slide right here. I was reading you the one that's right there, so thank you. Automation and AI will render us useless. I don't think that will happen. Does anybody think that'll happen? No. It won't render us useless. It'll just be a tool in our tool belt. Absolutely. There's not going to be a decrease in demand for pain relief that we provide. Okay? I was chatting with the eBoss group yesterday, and I was saying, hey, you're in the pain relief business. And when I talk about marketing one day this week, I'm going to be talking about how you really find that pain and you twist the knife and you relieve that pain. But there's not going to be, it's kind of a twisted, but yeah, it's effective though. So the ends justify the means here. But there's not going to be a decrease in for those of you in demand. Like AI is taking over the medical industry as well, or it's helping and it's assisting. But do you think that AI is going to be the person that's talking to the physician or the nurse or whoever the case may be? No, there's not going to be a decrease in that. Business owners prefer to deal with a robot versus a human. Hello, can I take your order? No, we don't want that, right? I mean, now today when I call and it's one of those automated systems, speak or dial the number and you're like, 9, it goes 4. What? Aren't we a little bit more advanced than that? I don't think that that's going to happen. The last thing I think that won't happen, that ship has sailed. So, now here's what I think will happen. Okay, what I think will happen is that RPA, robotic process automation, will take over our repetitive tasks. So if you're somebody who loves data entry and coding transactions, you better unlove that really fast. Okay, and who really does? I mean, some of us like that when we're brain and just like, I got to do something that's just not making me think. But really, we don't like to do that. And RPA will take that. And I'm not talking about the bank feed with the automatic coding. I'm talking about pretend that you're there. Who's seen Bruce Almighty? Bruce Almighty. Remember that scene in Bruce Almighty? I probably should have put it up here, where he's God and he's answering all the emails that people are prayers. And that's exactly what robotic process automation is. Literally, you can watch it, and it's pretty freaky, right? It's like somebody going at 100 times. It's like somebody that's had 18 cups of coffee, you know, before 6 a.m. But I believe that RPA is going to take over our repetitive task, and I see this as a great thing, okay? I believe that amateur firms, those that aren't really structured, those that don't have the things set up that I'll talk about here in just a little bit, I'll believe that they'll go by the way of the dodo bird, but those that learn, adapt, and perfect are going to thrive. What got us here won't keep us here. What got us here won't take us to where we want to go. I believe that there will be victory to the firms that really get their three engines dialed in. And those engines are, number one, their workflows, number two, their client attraction, And number three, their talent attraction. And more so than just attraction to talent, but retention. But the good news is that today, with the tools that we have, we can run a hyper effective and efficient firm with minimal staff. So if you're hearing, oh my goodness, I don't want to have a staff, well, we're not talking about you having hundreds of people, tens of people. We're talking about having superhumans that can do the work today that it takes 16 humans a year ago. And I'll prove that later on because I said it. So cyber threats will increase exponentially. Who here has heard of IRS Publication 4557? Okay, writer downer. Okay, I know that most of you don't prepare taxes, and I get that. IRS Publication 4557 is about security of client information. It's a relatively new publication, and it has a lot of implications for us, because guess who we interact with on a yearly basis, even if we don't prepare taxes? Who do we interact with? Who? Well, we interact with the IRS. We interact with tax preparers communicating information. So it does impact you directly because you're sending that stuff over. And so make sure that you look this up, right? Print it off. Again, some great Friday night reading right there. IRS Publication 4557, though. But these cyber threats are going to increase exponentially. And this, why I bring up Publication 4557, it talks about some mitigating factors. Even if you don't have anything to do with taxes, it does have some best practices in there. Believe it or not, the IRS publications and all their stuff is really good. And I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek at all. Data analysis and data visualization will become critical skills for you and me. Things that we're not used to doing. Clients don't want to understand, and they don't want to read, and they don't want to look at numbers. How many of you put financial statements in front of your clients and they just go like deer in the headlights, right? That's because they're not bookkeepers, by the way, right? Numbers to them are that's what they hear when you're talking about numbers. And so being able to present this in a way that they can visualize it quickly and you can analyze it and interpret that, and then giving them actionable steps or at least ideas that they can take and couple with their experience running their business, being a great electrician, being a great physician, being a great e-commerce person, these are going to become critical skills. So I believe the other side of that is that advisory is going to become essential. We are first and foremost in the business of what? Pain relief. Nobody goes to the doctor and says, you know what, I'm in really good shape, so help me get into great shape. Nobody does that, right? I mean, very, very few. If you look at our spend on medics, it's 98% preventative, or sorry, what's it, not preventative, what's it called? Taking care of, yeah. And then 2% on being proactive with it. So I think that advisory is going to become essential. I think that, and I love this one, the bookkeeping profession will become regulated. How many of you think that it's a travesty that if you go get your nails done or go get your hair cut, you have to have a license from the state? However, if you're dealing with people's money, you don't. Is that kind of jacked up or what? That's pretty jacked up. So, and I believe, and we want to be part of this, is to make our industry regulated. And you may think, oh my gosh, here comes the government. They always screw things up. And yes, they do. However, I do believe that we need oversight as a bookkeeping profession. And I believe that all of you doing great work believe in that too. Yeah, there's some drawbacks that go to that, but this is what I firmly believe, and we're part of that, trying to make that happen. Because guess what that also does for you in a selfish way? It makes you more what? What's that?
Relevant,
valuable. You have enough to share with the rest of the class there? yeah, it does, but it makes you seem more professional. It also makes you earn more. Because of all these things that are happening right there. So I believe it'll become regulated, okay? I believe also Corporate Transparency Act. Who knows about this that goes into place? Of course, Kim, overachiever. Okay, so here's another writer down here that you probably want to look at because this goes into play January of 2024. And people are like, well, this really impacts people who are creating entities. So attorneys is really who that applies to. Right now, yes. But this is the government's foothold into you being a policeman for them, you making sure that you're not supporting nefarious characters. So I believe that, like publication IRS Publication 4557, that this Corporate Transparency Act is just a foot in the door to kind of make us more of a policeman right there. And also that comes with know your client. And so a lot of this stuff is new, and a lot of these rules and everything haven't been promulgated yet. So there's my big word for the day. But know your client, that's going to be something. And so we need to keep attention on this. But and we'll do our best to do this, but also I want to bring this to your attention. The Corporate Transparency Act is something to look at. And then what I do also think that happened is that at least 5 new Star Wars movies will be released in the next 12 months, maybe in the next 12 days. Has there ever been a franchise that somebody has just beat up since they bought it? I mean, they're like just every other day. It's like, good grief. They're filming a Star Wars movie over there right now. So I thought that one was pretty funny. Obviously, there's not a lot of Star Wars nerds in here. Jennifer and Jen, note to self, we're better. Okay, so how do we remain relevant and how do we thrive? What are the steps that we need to do? Now, before I go into these steps, I want you to use this as a metric. Pretend for just a second, and this is going to be a far-fetched pretend that I am just batshit crazy, okay? Pretend for just a second that I am crazy like that and everything I'm about to tell you is hogwash. What I want you to do, though, is to say, okay, if he was crazy and what he's saying, but if what he says is going to happen or it doesn't happen, is what he's presenting still a good idea? And I'll phrase that for you in just a second. But there's 3 steps to remaining relevant and to thrive, okay? So step number 1, we already talked about these, is to learn, okay? So I want to kind of give you what I mean by learn, okay? Because it's not learn like we did in school right there, okay? But it's committing to lifelong wisdom, okay? It's not knowing information. It's being able to take that information and put it into practice. It's being able to take the mistakes of others, learn from those mistakes, and make sure that you don't make them so that you're that much further ahead. Hence the reason that you want to find somebody that's more advanced than you. Hence the reason that you want to help people that are not as advanced as you, right? So committing yourself to lifelong wisdom, and I'll give you some tactics here in just a second. But I love this quote right here. Wisdom is not a product of schooling, but the lifelong attempt to acquire it. By a pretty smart guy by the name of Albert Einstein right there. Lifelong. Most of us don't set aside the time, and I'm guilty of this. I'm number one offender of really setting aside time to learn, to read, right? And those are the things that I should be doing, some of the most valuable time that I can spend in my business and on my life. But I don't dedicate that, so give you some tactical things in just a second. So how do we do that? How do we continue to learn? So I got my little dirty dozen right here, okay? I got my little dirty dozen. So at first, I think it starts with a healthy body equals healthy mind. Okay? As somebody who suffered from depression for 22 years and had all kinds of other stuff, it was kind of all hit me this year that I kind of had to get my health together. And I tell you, getting your health together, there's been nothing better for my mental capacity, my ability to deliver, my ability to orate, my ability to get my work done, is getting my body healthier. I'm not where I need to be, but I am down 28 pounds from where I was last year, right? Very sexy. But I got more to go. Okay, so yeah, but having this healthy body it plays off on there, and I'm certainly not a guru on health or anything like that, but I can tell you from personal experience that getting this right has had more impact on me. I tell you, I've gotten more done in the last 8 weeks than I probably have in the last 2 years, and of course some of that's preparing for BKX and getting all this stuff ready for you, but I tell you, this is one of the most important things that you can do. And I know that a lot of us are like, I just don't have time. Well, you have to make time for your health now, or you'll be forced to take time to take care of it later. So right now it's in your hands. It's your choice. Which one do you make? Again, I'm not here to talk down. I'm here to talk with. I'm here to tell you what's working for me. Okay? To keep the body in good health is a duty. Otherwise, we shall not be able to keep our mind strong and clear. Buddha. Number 2 thing we can do is make and honor a commitment to learning on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Who was here last year? Remember Ben Day's talk about the brain dump, right? Which is an awful title for brain dump. Yeah, that's a version of that right there, really. Setting aside 10 minutes to read good information, to read good books, to watch good videos and not cat videos. I know that they're very exciting and all. Kelly has a whole collection that she can show you right there, and dog videos that she can show you. But really making a commitment and setting it aside. So one of the action items that I would tell you to do right now is to set aside 10 minutes every day on your calendar to read something that's going to help you to grow. That doesn't always have to be about business. We're talking about growth in a business sense. We're talking about growth in a personal sense, whatever the case may be. But I would say set aside 10 minutes a day. I'd also say set aside 30 minutes a week to do a little bit more in depth. Set aside 2 hours a month to do a little bit more of that. Set aside a half a day in a quarter. Set aside a retreat day every 6 months. Do you get where I'm going with this? If we don't put it on our calendar, it's not going to happen. You people are nerds just like me, and if it gets on the calendar, or if it gets on the to-do list, it gets done. If it doesn't get on the calendar and it doesn't get on the to-do list, you forget it before the words come out of your mouth. Who else is with me on that, right? Like, literally, I have to write and type everything down. If I have an idea, I have to email it to myself right now. I don't know where all the stuff is. I wish I could take all the lyrics from every 80s song out of my head, whoosh, and bring in the stuff that I want to, but I can't. We need to come up with a drug like that. That's not illegal. So we do need to make that honor, in honor of that commitment. We need to declutter mentally and physically. We got a lot of things in our lives, haters, people that are draining us down, that we need to look to get away from, okay? So how can we declutter our life mentally? How can we declutter our life physically? How many of you are happy with the aesthetics of your office, your physical office, your surroundings, right? How many of you are like me and you just got shit piled, you got stuff piled everywhere, right? How good does it feel once you clean all that up and for that 32 minutes when everything is pristine? You like that? But I'm telling you, it's something about that just refreshes you and gets you in this different thing. So I think it's important for us to do that. And again, we're talking about what are the tactics my Ben's Dirty Dozen to declutter. All right, find a mentor. If you're the smartest person in the room, guess what? Get the hell out of that room. You don't want to be the smartest person in the room, not for very long. Find a mentor, okay? Also, be a mentor. Find a mentor, Find a mentor and be a mentor. Hey, brought to you by the state of Georgia. All right. Double down on your strengths. All of you have a certain strength that you can parlay. Who knows here the things that are on their to-do list that they just, man, they just go after and they just freaking love it. They could just do it all day long. Two of you. This is that part where I say raise your hand, and you have to raise your hand, right? And then you have the other things on your list that you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. Start paying attention to those cues and saying, how can I get somebody else to do this? How can I automate? How can I delegate? How can I delete some of these things so that I can focus on what are my strengths are so that I can double down on them? Because that's where you're going to get paid most. That's where you're going to thrive. Automate, and I just said this, automate, delegate, or eliminate your weaknesses. Okay? Most of the time I think, we'll just delegate that. I'll give that to my virtual assistant. Okay? Or I'll automate this. And sometimes we really don't think, well, can I just eliminate it? What would happen if I eliminated it? That's one of the best phrases that you can ever use, by the way. What would happen if? A lot of us have good ideas, but you know what the opposite, and I learned this from a guy by the name of Rory Sutherland, the opposite of a good idea is what? Sometimes it's a good idea. Sometimes it's a better idea. It's not a bad idea. Sometimes it's a really bad idea. But sometimes it's opposite. What I'm telling you right here is to really think, what would happen if? What would happen if I stopped answering all client emails? Well, I'd lose all my money. Okay, well, we probably don't want to do that, right? So think in that way. Go deep on some key skills versus wide across lots of skills. You're already doing that. I mean, you guys are bookkeeping professionals. You're getting better every single day. And when you couple this with lifetime learning, you're already doing this. But what I'm suggesting, we have this notion that we should know and be a jack of all trades and master of none. Absolutely not. You have this thing called YouTube, and there are actually 14 videos on there that are good that you should watch about stuff. Okay? Can I get one of those snare drums that goes ba-doom, boom, ch, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, those are bad. All right. All right, choose your sources of knowledge wisely, okay? Kind of going back, I know we're saying a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but not everybody knows everything. You know, I like to learn from people that have made the mistakes, not the people who claim to have never made the mistakes, because we're the ones that got burned, and we can teach you how not, or at least how to minimize that. Keep an open mind, which we've already said. A mind like a parachute opens best when open. Develop critical thinking and reasoning skills. This is also known as logic. Who here thinks that the world has lost its logic sometimes? Now I'm getting some hands going up right there, right? Be the logical person, right? There's logic and emotion, and we can't detach the two, but we can think in a logical way. Develop relationship skills, okay? I've said it since day one. Bookkeeping is first and foremost a? Thank you. Wow. Relationship business, yes. The three people that watched my video, thank you again, Mom. Develop those relationship skills. All right, so that's learning. Adapt. I want to make sure I got enough time here. Okay, so we need to adapt, okay? The ship, I love this right here. The ship that doesn't adjust its sail won't survive the storm, okay? So how do we do that? How do we adapt? Well, first, we got to embrace AI. We can't fight it. If you try to fight it, this is you fighting Mike Tyson at his prime, okay? Forget about it. Forget about it, okay? Now, this does not mean that you need to become a tech guru. This was the other thing Heidi told me. He's like, for goodness sake, don't tell them that they have to become a technical person. Well, I'm not suggesting that. What I'm saying is that we have to embrace AI. There are so many ways that we can use this and leverage this without having to be a tech, using something called, you know, no-code software, which I'll talk about a later time. Second, prioritize data security. Okay, I know that most of you do. Simple things like data encryption and all that. Go out there and talk to Jock. Oh, Jock just got some free sponsor stuff right there, so I'm about to charge him more. Make sure I send him an invoice for that. Third, develop your advisory services arm once, and this is a big asterisk on this, once you get really, 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 really good at the bookkeeping services that you provide or tax services that you provide, the core functions. Don't try to do this. Don't try to become a black belt if you haven't become a yellow belt yet. Make sense? So this is one of the things. First, commune, which you're already all doing right here. Give yourself a round of applause for all being here and doing that and communing right now when you didn't want to. Focus, focus, focus. So the world has no focus anymore. I have no focus anymore. We're like gnats all walking around. We have the attention span. It used to be of 7 minutes. Now I don't even know if it's 7 seconds. So my contention is that the future favors the focused. Those of us that can say, this is important, and I'm going to put my efforts into this, and I'm going to say hooey to this other stuff over here that seems bogus. Become a multi-service firm is something that you should consider. Okay? By the way, you're all adults. You all own your own business. And you can say, what he said is total garbage, and I'm not doing it. And guess what? That's your prerogative. Like Bobby Brown said, it's totally your prerogative. You can do that. But I'm telling you, these are things that you need to consider. Because by doing this, the reason I suggest is that you create a moat. Because the more tentacles that you have in your client, and I don't mean this from a negative way, the more tentacles, though, that you have in your client, the less likely they are to leave, the less likely they are to embrace some, you know, something that rhymes with winch, right? A service, saying that's out there. Wow, we got to get this coffee going out here. Perfect. All right, let's talk about that. So perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we catch excellence. Vince Lombardi. So that's why I said perfect is a verb and it's not a noun because we'll never be perfect. But we got to get these three engines right. We got to get our workflows right. We got to get our attraction right. I don't mean the way you look. I mean the way in which you bring in clients. If you've listened to me from day one, I said there's two things that you should never stop doing in your business. Number one, marketing. And number two, recruiting. If you want to grow a business. And by the way, if those of you who think, I just want to stay where I am, there is no such thing. There's no such thing as inertia in business. What is it, entropy? That the body's just decaying? Atrophy? Apathy? Yeah. We don't stand still, so we need to always be doing those two activities, right? And that comes to the third thing right here, talent. Right? Always recruiting that. So how do we do that, right? Well, I'm going to be covering these in depth in each of my chats here, as well as some of the other speakers that are going to be here. But first, let me just give you a couple of things. Infrastructure that's proven, documented, and optimized. If you go open up a McDonald's, they don't go, well, here, check it out. Here's some stuff. Go make some burgers and fries. No, they have an infrastructure that's proven, that's documented, and optimized. And we need to be doing the same thing because the time of the amateur firm, as I contended earlier, is not going to work. And that means that we have to create a friction-free client experience. One where the client doesn't even feel it. Okay? Steady flow of qualified talent. Okay? Doesn't again mean that you have to have tens of people that are working with you. Doesn't mean that you have to become this empire. It does mean that you need to have that steady flow. You need to have a predictable, consistent, and profitable pipeline. Well, I've got a lot of alliterations here. A primo clients. Okay? Professionalism. So kind of during the pandemic, professionalism went out the window and pajamas came flying in, right? But I think that all of us, and I was chatting with the eBoss people about this yesterday, is that, you know, when we're meeting with a client, we need to dress the part. We need to look the part. We need to feel the part. Because even though they may dress in a hoodie and look like Bill Belichick, we don't need to look like that. Heaven forbid. I had to give a dig in. Where's Justin? I had to give a dig in there to your Patriots. Third community, which are, again, we're right here. So this is what can happen when you take these three steps. Okay. First, your business is structured. Okay. Your business is in a structured environment. You people, there's one word that you hate in your business. Can anybody guess what that is? Chaos. Who said that? Oh. You hear all my videos, and you've heard me reciting this, so thank you. So, chaos, you hate. So, like, when you get something down that's really, you know, something that's taken you hours and hours before, and now it's just taking you minutes, you smile to yourself, right? You gloat in that. I mean, I know because I'm a fellow nerd right there with you, right? You have this structured environment. You stay the course headed towards your ultimate goal. How many people have a goal written down of when they would like to sell their business and by how much they would like to sell their business? Okay, so this is an exercise for you to take real darn soon. By when would I like to sell my business and for how much? Because ultimately, this is the only reason that you create a business for long-term riches, wealth, whatever the case may be. So you really need to have that outlined, okay? Do that. I mean, and it's a thinking exercise, and you're not going to hit it. You're going to be over it. You're going to be late. You're going to be early, whatever the case may be. But you need to know where you're going with your business, because the biggest payday that you probably will ever receive in your life is when you sell your business, you know, when you're sitting on multiple six figures, and you're like, what just happened? How did I do this? And we've already had plenty of people that have done that inside of Bookkeeper Launch. Dave Ryan, I got a text from him. He sold his business for quite well. All right, third, you remain relevant, and fourth, you thrive. That's what happens when you put these things into play. Not to mention, you're going to make a lot more money, do lots more good, and let work energize you. One of the things on your survey that I heard is that, oh, I just want to come to BKX to be re-energized. You know, one thing we just got through to tax season. Other thing is that the clients just suck the life out of you. They attach that vacuum hose to you, and they say, give me all your soul. Let me just suck it from you. Nobody else feels like that? Okay. All right. All right. So here are some action items that I want to leave you with for BKX. Okay. These are things that you can be doing today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Number one, attend all the sessions and be present. Unless there's one that you just say, well, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And Tyler has a bad ego, so please don't do that to him, because, you know, he's very fragile like that. Give him a hug later on. But attend all sessions. Find your people. All right, this is your chance to find your people. I love the community that we have inside of Bookkeeper Launch. I love the community that we have in BKX, but it doesn't replace what we have in this room right now at all. Like, it's not like an incremental growth, incremental change. It's exponential. Follow Jalitza's guidance, okay? We hired her for a specific reason, because she can help you to optimize your experience. She, yes, plays MC, but she's also here for you and to guide. So listen to her on that. Now, post-BKX, rewatch this recording. By the way, we're giving you all the recordings this year. Yes. Second thing you can do, which I've already mentioned, is to block off specific learning time daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, and annually. Okay? Commit to learn, adapt, and perfect. Remember, what got you here won't keep you here. What got you here won't help you to go into the future. We have to change, and change for the better. The greatest danger in times of turbulence is not the turbulence, it's to act with yesterday's logic. Peter Drucker, very smart business guy. And there's no better place to do that, the logic of now, to find that than right here at BKX. Okay? A couple of notes before I turn over the stage here. And my goodness, I'm almost right on time. That never happens. So is there something wrong? Is somebody fiddling with this clock right here? So just so you know, there's only one thing that you will see presented that you could buy from stage, and that's a six-day intensive workshop that I'm putting on, $6,000. I'll talk to you about it later on in the week, but that's the only thing you can buy from stage, so don't worry, nobody's pitching anything except for me, and that's just one time. I encourage you to visit with the sponsors, because they have solutions out there that you have problems, and they have the solutions. So go and visit with them. And then also, of course, I would like to, you know, we had three platinum sponsors. We've got Keeper. Yeah. Zero. And Bookkeep. So we'll be talking more about the sponsors that are out there, but it's right there. Like, you can't miss them, right? So we kind of make it like just everything's right here. That's the great thing. Okay, so that's a couple of notes right there. This is going to be a wonderful time. again, leverage this time. We'll be talking more about that. But I'm excited to share with you. I'd love to meet those of you that I haven't. But thank you for listening to me, putting up with my shenanigans. And I'm going to turn it over to Jalitza. Thank
you. Awesome. Please give it up for Ben. Thank you.